1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian podcast is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Fun, safe, and stress-free gatherings were hard to plan until now. For only $99, you can reserve a theater for a private showing for up to 20 of your friends and family. Details online at marcustheaters.com.
You had your first day somewhere, your first something. Maybe it was your first time. First time what?
Gaming. You guys sound 100 when you talk about esports.
I'm not against it. I just say, fine, do it. I'm not watching in the Olympics. Well, I don't watch it now.
Speak for all the people who
are 100.
Sound like they're 100. There's a lot of them.
True.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
I had just gotten my first gaming system, and I couldn't figure out how to throw the mushroom. Well, I felt foolish.
Into the dragon's mouth.
Right. All right. Your first time. Round three.
My grandparents bought a new car and gave their old maroon Toyota Camry station wagon to my sister and I, who were both in high school. First car.
Sweet.
Oh, I was going to say, this is the first day with the car? Okay.
January 2nd, 1998, the title was officially signed over to my mom, and my sister and I had our car.
To fight over.
That night, I took it over to my girlfriend's. We were watching a movie and heard a noise outside. Didn't think much of it at the time. Short while later, her dad calls us to come out front. A drunk driver had plowed into the back of the car and smashed it into a tree.
Come on.
And the car was totaled. I'll never forget the 4 hours we had together. You can hear the sound of a car being smashed in the front yard, and you don't run to the window to see what that is. There's not a lot of things that sound like a car being smashed into a tree.
Brian.
Really only a car being smashed into a tree.
And yet you have no interest in...
We're talking about high school girls here.
How loud was that movie?
Right.
Who was in it?
What movie was it?
It was Leif Garrett.
1998. Would that have been 98. Titanic or something?
Sure. We were watching Leo. Couldn't move.
All right. It was my first bike ride without training wheels. I was around 5 or so and really excited. I started out on the driveway and was able to tool around well enough, but it was a small area and hard to get going, so my older sisters decided it would be better if I had an incline. In order to get going better, we hauled the bike up to the top of the hill near our house, and they filled me with confidence and told me I could do it. They let me go, and I quickly gained my balance, then coasted with grace down the hill. Near the base of the hill, I pedaled and I was riding a bike. It was going very fast, but I was riding a bike. My mom had come out to see what was going on, and I raised a gleeful hand to wave immediately lost control of the bike and flew over the handlebars, landing face first and skidding to a halt as the bike tumbled over me from behind. My sister got in trouble, I got stitches, and I still have a scar on my chin. It's like a smashed in the face story.
It is.
That does. That's a couple of different disciplines.
Mm-hmm. About 2 months after graduating high school, my best buddy told me his dad could get me a great job at Falk. So I went and dropped his dad's name, and they hired me and told me when to start. So,
okay.
First day on the job.
Yeah. Just so you know, Jerry Johnson sent me.
Johnson, here's
your hat. A fine man. You must be too.
I got issued a hard hat, glasses, a locker, and ID. On my first day, I left my new lunchbox in my locker and went to a room awaiting my assignment. A guy came for me. I put on my hard hat and I went out to the shop. We walked like what seemed to be a quarter of a mile till we got a smoky, steamy part of the shop. I could barely breathe and couldn't see more than 2 feet in front of me. After 3 minutes, I excused myself to disappear and never return to the foundry.
Johnson! About that kid!
3 minutes!
There might still be a banana in that lunchbox in my locker. That was 1974.
You'll be working
here. I walked out of there.
Can you excuse me for a minute?
Hey, tell your dad I'm sorry.
Three kids. That's great.
I started one of my first jobs in the summer of 87 after my freshman year in college at a local grocery store in my hometown. I would be stocking shelves on third shift. I showed up on my first day and was given instructions on what to do. There was a crew of five other guys who were more experienced, and they gave me basic instructions. My job would be to open boxes of merchandise using a company-issued box cutter, carefully but quickly cutting the lids off to remove the contents. I watched the others and started doing my work. After a few hours, all was going well. I was trying to match the speed of the others around me, hoping to make a good impression.
These are people who've got more time in than you.
We were winding down one aisle, and I was instructed to head to the next aisle and to the pallets of groceries that awaited. I started cutting one box, turning it each time after cutting one side open. However, in the last cut, I did not turn the box. I made a strong cut, and after making the slice, I also sliced about a one-inch cut into my left wrist. Shocked by the pain, I passed out.
Ooh.
New guy's out.
Donk.
I awoke to find one of my coworkers holding my wrist and elevating my bloodied arm and yelling for someone to call 911. An ER trip to the local hospital and 10 stitches later, I was off for the rest of the night. Being a poor college student and needing the money, I returned to work 2 days later with a new nickname, Slash. I ended up working there three more summers, and it turned out to be one of my favorite jobs.
Wow, okay. You got better with the box cutter.
I had two brothers who were stockers, third shift stockers. They loved that job.
Really?
Yeah, they loved it.
Got a couple of fish stories. After meeting her through a mutual group of friends, our first date was a casual cookout on Good Friday. As I was trying to be a good Catholic, my friend made me grilled salmon while everyone else had burgers and brats.
Wow.
The fish was done exceptionally well and smelled terrific. After I gave a taste test to the chef, I offered some to my date, beautiful, charming college co-ed. Even though she grew up in the Milwaukee area, frequenting restaurants with her family, she never had tried fish. Never tried fish.
Some people are not fish people. Yeah. It happens, I guess.
I'm not.
Yeah, I am.
I convinced her to try a pea-sized morsel, and in my defense, before her throat started to swell shut, she said it was delicious.
This is really good.
Turns out she was deathly allergic to fish.
Oh, wow.
At age 19, she still didn't know. Fortunately, the effects of the tiny piece wore off without her losing consciousness. Months later, she had an allergy test in which the doctor informed her that if she ever wanted to get anything out of the sea, do it in a hospital because she didn't have much time. After that memorable first date, we have been together ever since. Sort of happily married for 19 years. Just no fish fries for us.
She'll have the filet medium rare.
Yeah.
Get anywhere near.
Wow.
Just turf, no surf.
Right.
First time fishing in Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, but apparently only two prime spots per lake. I complied with the requirements set before me. No hairspray, no lotion or bug spray.
Boat
leaves at 4:30 a.m.
Are we on the Amazon?
I set high goals to demonstrate that I, as a woman, could also fish. Okay. After 5 hours, I asked to be dropped at the shore to use the bathroom. In fisherman language, that was, take me to the shore so everyone can see your secret spot. They described some sort of yoga, which entailed hovering over the side that one does in these situations. I coyly whispered, I mean, number two.
Oh, boy. You have to get into the water for that?
The boat, as a collective, said, yeah, so what? That's fine. And refused to dock. At some point, my body rebelled, and it was happening.
Oh, my God.
I was out of other options. I leapt into the chilly waters, completing the disgusting task.
What are you going to do?
With no forethought on how to clean up after myself while submerged. As I climbed back in, I chuckled, well, what do you think the walleyes like me flailing around in there? Quiet glare from the crew just meant.
Hey, man, that's not cool.
I didn't do it in here.
You just made me crap in a lake, and that's not cool?
It was almost as if nothing happened because to them, nothing did happen. Apparently, this is all part of the fisherman experience. I still love them. My ex-in-laws, who taught me how to fish, but all subsequent fishing by me has occurred at the end of a dock.
Wow, lady.
Probably a good choice.
Good story.
Yeah. Wow.
Another job.
That's worse than having the crap strap.
Yeah, some sort of
yoga. I thought that was as low as it got.
Oh. 10 years ago, I got a job at a haunted house to make some extra cash. One interview question was, how bad do you want this job? Would you let me shoot you with a paintball gun for it?
This is part of the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I nervously laughed and agreed, thinking it was a joke. Come opening night, I had been assigned to the owner's zombie paintball game. Here are a few things to consider. Customers pay $20 for 50 rounds to shoot us with.
Oh, my God.
Famous targets. You're just live targets.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
That is so great. I want to go to that haunted house.
Headshots are not only encouraged, but rewarded. Customers can purchase zombie bait for at least $10. Zombie who claims the bait keeps the cash, but also gets shot up by the customer.
This cannot be legal.
Do they put it in the middle of the room where you have to come and get it?
I think it's probably right up by the... Zombies were provided a protective mask, not helmet, and a jockstrap slash cup arrangement that went outside your pants because, quote, someone new gets it tomorrow. One zombie in the break room at the time, that was the limit. An hour into zombie paintball, I was regretting my decision. My body was sore, my unprotected head was throbbing, and I wasn't sure how much more of this I could take. At one point, I entered the break room to find three of my four coworkers taking refuge.
Oh, thanks.
One of them, a local college kid, was crying. I decided to stick it out. At one point, I heard the master of ceremonies call out, "Zombie bait!" And decided to make some extra cash.
Because,
you know, you lurch for that.
Yeah,
right.
And they're just
they're just blowing you away.
They've got their sights right pointed at the zombie bait, of course. And you're just going to get peppered.
But instead of $10, the bait had just $2.
Whoa.
I approached my supervisor and requested to leave. He denied my request and said we were in for the night. Then requested to use the restroom. He informed me that there was a porta potty outside of the arena.
Fine.
But I needed to hurry back.
Mm-mm.
I left.
Yeah. Zombie bait. He'd hear that in his sleep.
Wow. That's a crime, right? You can't.
It has to be. It's almost like human trafficking.
It's like, but, yeah.
Here's one from a bender we all know.
Oh.
My first day running a snowblower. I had been in Illinois helping my parents after my dad's heart surgery. I was anxious to head home to Wisconsin and sleep in my own bed, but not before I shoveled their driveway clear of snow. When I was finished, I kissed my parents goodbye and headed home. I arrived home 4 hours later to about 8 inches of snow on our own long, double-wide driveway. My husband was not home, and I did not have a neighbor like Bob Madden does, so
yeah.
I was faced with clearing the driveway myself. Not wanting to shovel another driveway, I was determined to learn to use our own snowblower. I parked the car along the road and trudged up the driveway. Once in the garage, I retrieved the owner's manual and read the instructions. I wheeled the snowblower to the front of the garage and was so excited that it started on the first try.
All right.
I put on my gloves and pulled the lever to engage the snowblower. I can't describe the shock I felt when snow and ice were blowing directly in my face.
The shoot facing?
It took a while before my brain kicked in and I let go of the lever. I was covered with snow and looked like the abominable snowman. Apparently, I missed the step of aiming the chute where you want the snow to go.
It's a doozy.
It was aimed at my face. I brushed myself off and successfully cleared the driveway.
All right.
Sure. It was a step.
Boy, that's a timely one, too, because there are a lot of snowblowers running.
Nicely done, Bender.
Yeah. Gotta get better neighbors.